If you are a businesswoman working to amplify your six and seven figure business from success to significance, then you know it's not just about the right strategies or the right tactics. It's more and more about high caliber people around you, your team, your collaborators, and advisors that can open doors for you and widen your reach. Welcome to Your Circle of Influence podcast with your hosts, Dr. Monica Ogando and Amy Walker.
Welcome back to Your Circle of Influence podcast. I am your co-host, Dr. Monica Ogando.
And I'm Amy Walker.
We are trying something new. We're doing the audio as we've always done it. And now we're also doing video. So I'm having a hard time looking at the camera instead of at you, Amy.
That's okay. Because today our topic is imposter syndrome for women entrepreneurs. How do we overcome it? And I am going to be honest. I had this mixed feeling when YouTube released the podcast option, because part of me was like SEO, keyword search. Right. Get more new audience, people listening to the show. Amazing. And part of me was like, I love the fact that we show up without our hair and makeup done, practically in our pajamas, and like can scratch your nose if you need to scratch your nose. It's pretty great.
Right. Like I just did. Right. Exactly.
So today we're going to do our best to meld both of these worlds together. And it's going to be epic.
It's going to be epic. And how on brand that the first video podcast that we do has to do with imposter syndrome, because many times the way that the imposter syndrome thing begins, for women at least, is about image. It's about, how am I showing up? How are people perceiving me? And am I putting forth the proper image or the proper brand or the proper, you know, way of being, et cetera, in order for people to take me seriously or to buy from me, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to get into that today.
Yes. And for those of you who have been watching the show since the beginning, we've interviewed a lot of six and seven figure entrepreneur women on the show. And whenever we interview, we ask a question during our lightning round. And that question is, what is the inner dragon you've had to slay on your path to success? And Monica, what is the most common answer that we get?
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. It comes up all the time.
All the time.
So if you are struggling with imposter syndrome, just know that you are in great company, because some of the most influential, impactful women that we know are also battling the same demon. And I don't know that this is one that you conquer so much as one that you learn to manage.
Right.
Because I think part of imposter syndrome is that you're looking forward to who you want to be and what that next level is. And you have this level of awareness of, I'm not there yet. And because you're not there yet where you're going, there's this sense of like, well, who am I to say that I can get there? And you feel like you're sometimes, I don't know, it's like a fraud. I feel like I'm a fraud. I feel like I'm maybe not as smart as I think, or there's that layer of self-doubt that clouds the vision of where we're going next. But if you couldn't see both where you go, like who you'll be and who you are, I don't think you'd ever get there. Like they have to coexist at the same time.
Well, yes. And you have to also have a sense of self-trust enough to know when something is yours to carry and when you're just swimming in foreign waters. This is where intersectionality is very important. Because, for example, my first career out of college was as a financial planner, as a stockbroker, and it was very masculine dominated field. In that kind of like industry and waters, some of the ways, the feminine ways in which I do business that seemed very natural to me seemed completely foreign and sometimes even sabotaging in that culture. So it was very easy for me to be like, oh my God, you know, imposter syndrome. Do I really belong here? It's like, yes, you belong here. You just, these people are speaking a different language. And just because they speak a different language doesn't mean that the language you're speaking is somehow wrong or deficient or insufficient. And so, but you don't get there if you think you ain't got it. you have to get there with self-trust. That's super important.
Yeah. So I think we should both share what our experience with imposter syndrome has been like, and then we can go into next how we've managed it. Because I won't say that I overcome it. I will say that I manage it really well. And then it pops up every so often. It was like, you're not really ready for that. Who are you to say that you can do that? You know, like it just pops its little head up every once in a while. And I have to be like, oh, no, you get to go back down in your hole, like get back in that deep, dark hole. So let's kind of share what our journey has been like with imposter syndrome. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll your choice. Go first. Sure. I'll go first. It started very early because when I was a child in Dominican Republic, which is where I was born and raised, we have a very different school system. It's like in the way that I was raised, if all of the classes that you get a 95 or above score in your mid-year exams, you have the option of spending the second year of this of the second half of the school year in the next grade, because they're like, you've clearly beat this. So what would be the point of holding you in this grade when you can clearly handle extra work? And that happened to me twice in a row. So by the time that I got to this country, to the United States, by the time that I was 10 years old, I was in eighth grade, about to go into high school. And people were like, what's an 11-year-old doing in high school? Do you understand the hormone pool that we just threw this prepubescent child into? And so I had to grow up very quickly, like emotionally. I know I could handle the academics, right? Because I had a long history of handling the academics and the intellectual part of it, but the emotional part of it, the emotional maturity of it, and understanding social cues that I was not used to. And then throw in there that it's an entirely different culture, an entirely different language. People are like taller than me and bigger than me. And so, you know, if you were going to bully me, this would be the time to do it. And I had to develop like a really quick wit to be able to just kind of like spout back. First, learn English quickly. And secondly, learn how to be a quick-witted child, because I'm not going to throw hands. I'm sorry. I'm keeping these dimples. And so for me, it was like, I was swimming in I don't belong here. You know, I was swimming in this isn't for me. And I had to, my mother was instrumental in developing that sense of like, the way you know that you belong somewhere is because you're there. Right? And so it was this sense of like, the fact that I'm in the room lets me know that this is the room that I belong to, that I belong in.
Right.
So the belonging piece wasn't an issue. The issue was more of like, what am I going to do with this now? That was so key to have that kind of experience in childhood, because I think it informed all the other uncomfortable situations that I've been in. Because to your point, it's not like you ever graduate from imposter syndrome. It just gets to a different level and you learn to manage it differently.
You know, imposter syndrome for me came in really when I became an entrepreneur. I was shy as a child, and I still kind of by nature am a little bit shy. Like I have the ability to do people and to be in a crowd, and yet my natural status is kind of like, if I'm in a room full of people, I'd rather just be the one standing on the side talking to whoever decides that they want to come talk to me. But you won't really find me in the middle of the room or like out there actively meeting people.
Right.
So this intersectionality of entrepreneurship is really, really new and challenging for me, because it was, first of all, the first time that I'd ever experienced being bad at something, not because I'm good at everything, but because up until that point, all through school, all through college, I could work hard and figure it out and learn how to do it. And it was like entrepreneurship was this whole new world of skills that I didn't own and was struggling to learn. Plus the fact that it was pushing all of my people buttons and all of my sense of like, I don't know that I could go and talk to all of these people and stand in front of them. And so my first, honestly, 8 years as an entrepreneur were pretty rough. And I worked really, really, really hard to have less results than what most people got. And had I been any less tenacious, I think I would have given up. I'm so glad that I didn't.
Me too.
But it was hard for me to step into entrepreneurship. And then it resurfaces every so often, like I mentioned, but I will share one of the worst ones was in 2018. I had a really hard year in life and in business. I had that's the year I became caregiver for my grandmother with my sister. My sister did most of the hard work, but it was still very stressful. I was far away and she was close, and I couldn't equally bear the burden, but I was mentally bearing the burden. And so that was a really emotional year. And then I had children that were struggling, and we decided to move away from our dream house because we were spending so many hours a day driving the kids back and forth and back and forth, living out in the country. And so I'm back into neighborhood life, and not really, it wasn't where I wanted to be. I didn't love my house, and my business was struggling. And I kept getting these messages from God, like, stop doing this, stop doing that, slow down here, slow down there. And it was just like, he was putting the brakes on everything. And in my mind, I thought, okay, if I follow this, because it's clearly inspired, then everything's going to come back together easily and smoothly. It did not. It actually started to fall apart super fast. And during that time, it was so interesting because it felt like the current challenge was the reality of who I was. I was a struggling business owner. I was someone who couldn't keep it all together. I was a bad mom. And all those years before prosperity and peace and success and consistent sales growth, all of that must have been the fluke. And it was really interesting to me how I felt like I was watching it from the inside and the outside, where on the inside, I'm like, it's totally true. I can never get this back on track. And from the outside, it was like, how fascinating that this untemporary year of challenge is going to negate the past 10 years of success and rapid growth. And I realized that was a year when I learned the lesson that I was defining my value based on my results. And I'm not going to say that I have mastered that, but that was the year I was like, oh, I see where I'm at. And I really think that contributes a lot to women having imposter syndrome, is we have this sense of being that we connect to all of our roles. We connect our sense of self with our role as mother, our sense of self with our marriage, our sense of self with, you know, the way that we mother and nurture for our business. And so the way that our clients perform reflects on our sense of self. The way that our children perform reflects on our self sense of self. And it's, oh my gosh, what a great recipe for being unhappy and feeling Lord like an imposter that can That's never right. be as cool as you say you are.
Right.
It's not doable.
It's not doable. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I love what you're saying here, because part of it is you kind of get swept into the waves. And then at one point you're like, wait a minute. I mean, right. And that's where the self-trust thing comes in, because it's like, listen, I'm not jumping these hoops. Sometimes that happens chronologically, like as we get older, we have less and less F's to give. and part of it is because you've lived enough life to know, and you've been in many rooms. Like, I don't know if this has happened to you, Amy, but I have been in some rooms that I'm like, how did idiots get here in here? I thought I was going to be intimidated. I thought I was going to be impressed. I thought I was going to be like the least smart person in the room, you know? And then you walk in and you're like, nope, that's not what happened. So it kind of like, you keep your own humility, but at the same time, you keep people, you don't put people in pedestals anymore. You just kind of like, you know, notice and recognize and elevate each other's humanity. And I think that has a lot to do with the imposter syndrome, leveling imposter syndrome, because then it's like, everybody's trying to figure it out too. Nobody's better or worse. Everybody's got different talents or different strengths or different skills. And it's, we are better together when we collaborate than doing the comparison thing.
So I think we're naturally flowing into the next piece of the conversation, which is, how do you, Dr. Monica Ogando, battle imposter syndrome? Like, how do you find it, recognize it, and put it back in its place?
Right. So the way that I know it's rearing its head is when I start feeling self-conscious or start to shrink or start to hesitate when I want to say something, when I want to show up in a certain way, and I'm like, nope. And typically that hesitation or that comparisonitis or that self-consciousness comes from this idea that somebody knows better than me or has something that I don't, or et cetera, which it may be true, but it doesn't mean that whatever it is that I have is invaluable. So that's when I start to notice it when I do that hesitation thing. The way that I put the genie back in the bottle, as it were, is one, I ask for permission. For example, if I'm in a conversation with one person, or if I'm on stage speaking to, you know, more people, right, one to many, then I'll ask for permission to either speak to the pink elephant in the room, because I know from experience that if one person's feeling it, some of us, more than one person is feeling it. And secondly, it creates authenticity always, for in my experience, always creates intimacy and connection. And it actually elevates your authority instead of undermines it. When I am speaking from my authenticity, from a place of ownership versus from a place of like, love me, do me, fix me, right? It's more like I'm having this feeling, I'm having this thought, and here's what I want to do about it. You want to be on my team, right? So I'm creating something. I'm not like, help me fix something, right? That's a different comfort. And then the third thing that I do is that I look for any unmet needs that I have. Maybe I need some reassurance. Maybe I need to be better prepared. And now I got caught with my pants down, as it were. Maybe I need to up my communication skills, or maybe I need to relax, right? So it's like, what is it that I need in the moment? What is it that is being called for? Because that's also going to be, you know, a key to making sure that I show up in excellence and in mastery the next time.
I love so much of what you shared right there. And I think my process is pretty similar, but there's a couple of differences. So my trigger is that I feel like, or my awareness, this is my awareness trigger, when I feel like I have to prove who I am. So yours is that you find yourself getting quiet. Mine is I find myself getting extra loud and inserting everywhere because I have to prove, I have to show, I have to like impress. And so there's this sense of like, I feel like the kid who's in the corner, like dancing and going crazy because I have to show my value. And I'm like over serving and I'm trying to force everything to come together. That's my low point. And when I have that, I have to like pause and realize like, why am I feeling like I have to earn trust? Why am I feeling like I have to earn affection? Why am I feeling like I have to prove my intelligence? And then I get to a kind of a quiet place and I'll ask myself, what do I have too much of and what do I have not enough of emotionally? So the excess is sometimes I'm carrying disappointment, or I'm carrying frustration, or I'm carrying like guilt or shame, or just I've got some emotional buildup that's going on. And then, so that's the excess. And so I work on kind of cleaning up those emotions. Then I look at what's my deficiency. So what are the areas that I don't have enough? Do I need more care? Do I need more peace? Do I need more rest? You know, like what is the thing that will fill my cup back up? And so I emotionally recalibrate. And then the second thing that I do is I visualize. So once I've kind of emotionally recalibrated, then the next thing that I do is I visualize both sides of myself. And I look at myself as like this multidimensional person, which is there is this amazing higher self that is already perfected and that is already beautiful and brilliant and brave and all of the things. And then there is also this other side of the coin that is a work in progress and is weak and not fully formed and not fully there and still finding her way. And it's like one side of the coin gives grace to the other, and then that side of coin gives gratitude to the former. And so I just create this like circular thing of like grace and gratitude, and it helps me to be at peace with the fact that both are true, you know, like both are true. There's not one that is it, because I think sometimes I put off that higher self as though she's down the line instead of pulling her to me right now and saying, no, she's me. So is this, but so is this. We're both together in this. So that's kind of my process. And then I challenge myself to go into the world just shining, like just let my light shine. It doesn't have to be overly aggressive. It doesn't have to be quiet or dimmed or subdued. It's just go out and I just shine because that is who I was created to be. I don't have to do anything for it.
I love what you're saying because yes, I relate to what you're saying in terms of like we keep the higher self at a distance as though she's unachievable or in the future somewhere down the line, not touchable. But we know that we can pull her close because we do that with our inner child too. We do that with the past self. But sometimes that one is close and we relate to some lessons or some missed opportunities that we have outgrown. And it's like, but I'm no longer there, right? It's like if you planted an apple tree in Arizona, but then you move to Maryland, it's like you're not going to get apples. You're in a different place now, right? And so it's the same thing with karma. It's the same thing with, those lessons or even sometimes those regrets or those imposter syndrome hits that we get. It's like we're not there anymore. You already got the degree. You already got the experience. You already got the launch under your belt. You already got the what to do, what not to do, what to improve, et cetera, et cetera. So now we get to don't pretend. Don't pretend to be less than what you are so you can justify your smallness or your hesitation or whatever. Sometimes
Ooh.
this is the ways that I talk to myself.
That is powerful. Don't pretend to be less than you are, because I think sometimes that's the exact opposite script of what imposter syndrome says to us. Imposter syndrome says, don't pretend to be more than you are. And so I love that inner script flipping that and be like, oh, don't talk to me that way. Don't pretend to be less than you are. Ooh,
Yeah,
that's good.
because that's an imposter too. How dare you walk around here like you don't know what you know?
I
Like you
love
can't
it.
have the impact that you know to be able to have. Yeah. Okay, don't get me
Okay.
started with the offer of plate.
Good stuff today. I love this. Friends, thank you so much for tuning in to your Circle of Influence podcast. We're so grateful that you're here with us. We love hearing from you. We want to hear your stories. What do you do to overcome imposter syndrome? How do you recalibrate and create that balance? We cannot wait to hear from you. So leave us some comments and then make sure that you're following us. I'm at Amy Walker Coach on Instagram and Monica is at Dr. or at Monica Ogando on Instagram.
I know you want me to put the doctor in there.
I
But
really do want you to be
people have
doctor
a hard
everywhere.
enough time spelling Monica the way I spell it. Lord have mercy.
All right. Thanks everyone so much for being here with us.
Everybody. Talk to you soon.